this is the dairy, circulates around. And then this is the milking, powder.
When was your last milking?
I wouldn't have milked now since last in October. A year ago now.
Well, that's Cavan farmer Fintan Cooney. You might remember him. He joined us last week to talk about volunteering for the civil defence. But when I visited his farm, he also told me about the devastating loss of his entire dairy herd to tuberculosis last year. Fintan's story is, of course, all too familiar for farmers across the country as TB incidence hits a 15-year high. Well, the Department of Agriculture has worked to eradicate TB in cattle since the 1950s, spending an eye-watering 5.5 billion, yes, billion euro in public money along the way. And now the problem has reached a threshold where it may also threaten international trade. And yet it persists. Badgers are culled, infected cows are sent to the factory, and farmers, like you heard there, like Fintan, are left with empty sheds, still no closer to understanding why their herds became infected. But scientists are clear about what's driving these breakdowns. Last year, Simon Moore, Professor of Veterinary Epidemiology in UCD, spoke to Philip about his research, which has identified four sources of infection. And the biggest of them was not the badger, but other cows.
Really, there's four different sources that are important. Three of them relate to cattle, and one relates to wildlife. And in terms of cattle, the first one is what we would call hidden or residual infection. That is infection in animals that don't test positive. So the second one is the movement of cattle. And basically, it's a little bit the same. It's really cattle, again, with hidden infection. So people don't realize these animals are infected, but it's cattle moving from farm to farm and taking infection with them. The third one is when the bacteria that causes TB can be disseminated from infected cattle, into the environment. And these bacteria can survive for a period of time and provide a further source of infection. And then the final source of infection is from wildlife. In Ireland, that's primarily badgers, although certainly in County Wicklow, deer are also involved. The contribution of these four sources is roughly similar. So about 15% roughly due to hidden infection, 15% due to moved cattle, 15% due to the environment, and 15% directly due to badgers, with the remaining 40% essentially there's more than a single infection source and it's not possible to disentangle which is responsible.
Simon Moore from UCD speaking to Philip last year. Well, last month, the government allocated 157 million euro of public money in budget 2026 to the Department of Agriculture to continue their efforts to eradicate the disease. Cavan is a TB hotspot. Well, pedigree breeder Patrick Gaynor, who's from the county, was forced to cull his valuable herd last year, which put an end to his dairy farm. During the week, I visited him in Mullagh.
So look at the extent that we got it in would leave questions. You know, I don't know how we got it so bad that it brought everything in a matter of 2 to 3 years. You know, it was badgers caught. We caught some badgers and the department tested them, and I don't think any of them had TB that they caught around. We have no deer. As I said, we have a closed herd. Sometimes we'd buy maybe a few baby calves, that's all, baby heifer calves, that's all we ever bought.
So could they have brought it?
They couldn't have brought it because they were from a clear herd and they never had TB, the people we bought, because we always bought them off the same person all the time, a few of them. So it's just baffling how it got so. Now, and a few neighbours had maybe ones and twos and threes down just enough once, and that'd be cleared up again and away again. But
and is it possible that cows in nearby fields can infect each other?
It goes through the nose, the breeding end of it. So, look, I don't think they could either, because they'd have to be with them a long time. Yeah. You know, they wouldn't be with them long enough to. I think they'd have to be nearly a half an hour with their noses together before they can breed it across.
Did that happen?
No, it wouldn't have happened. It wouldn't have happened. It's just baffling. It's baffling how and even the department now just couldn't handle on it. I couldn't understand it. I thought it might be in the sheds. I thought it might be one cow that wasn't showing it up, which we had some cows when they did go, didn't show up in the blood, didn't show up in the skin, and they had it when we went to the factory. But then on the other hand, there was cows that showed up in the blood at home and showed up in the skin, and they hadn't it when they went into the factory. So there's no accurate test until the animal is dead, and that is to see the lungs and that. And
your story really started back around COVID, around 2020.
Around 20, just as COVID was ending, we had a couple of animals went with it, and they just started creeping up bit by bit, worse and getting worse, and had a couple of clear, maybe one clear test, two clear tests, and then back down again, three or four. So I'd say in 23, they decided, or maybe end of 22, they decided that they would bring them all, that there was no other way out of it.
So from 2020 onwards, there were a couple of cows in your herd that had it, but then things got a lot worse by 2023.
A lot worse. Actually, there'd be 15 going down, and there'd be maybe 20 going down the next time, and they decided that the department decided to we should chat about it, and decided the only way was to bring them all.
Bringing them where?
Bringing them to the factory, slaughtering them. During that time, some cows would go down, some heifers would go down, there was in calf, but they wouldn't bring them if they were within 21 days of calf, and they couldn't bring them to the factory, seemingly. And they'd leave them until they'd calf, and then about a fortnight after they'd calf, they'd bring both and slaughter them. The calf had to be slaughtered, and the cow had to be brought to the factory.
On your farm that happened, did it?
Yeah, the cows had to be slaughtered on the farm. They didn't go, they just were slaughtered and brought to the knackery. So that was tough now to see that happening.
So you had to allow the heifers to give birth.
Yeah.
You knew all the time that the mother was going to die, that the calf was going to die.
Yeah. And look, you would get up in the middle of the night and you'd make sure that they got beastings and you'd make sure that they were fed right for the fortnight. It was tough just to know that they weren't going to be there all the time, you know, but you'd still keep them happy anyhow, you know. Suppose maybe when you went back to bed, you'd say, look at a lovely calf, but what's the point of a lovely calf when he's got to go? You know, the last cows went, I'd say, in March of 24, and there was 25 baby calves. Now, they were only about a fortnight old, 3 weeks old, and they all had to be slaughtered in the yard and brought to the kennels. The kennels brought them. So that was tough. That was tough now to see them going like that, you know. The yard was quiet then for a while. Well, you'd go up in the mornings and nothing to do, you know. Just hoping. We were into showing at that stage as well, and that stopped. That had to stop, sure. And that was tough enough as well, you know, because show was a big part of our life.
Of course.
Yeah, we were into showing in a big way.
So by 2024, empty sheds, you weren't milking anymore. Animals were gone.
Gone, yeah.
And then I presume it's a waiting game?
Waiting game. We had to wait six months, I think. 6 months before we could buy in anything again. So we had to wash out all the sheds thoroughly and disinfect them and things like that. And
at that time, did the Department of Agriculture or anyone say to you, look, we think this is how your herd got TB?
But we were feeding the cows along the manger. It wasn't a manger, it was just a flat concrete. And they thought maybe the badgers was coming in and lying on the silage. It was one tot that was in the sheds. And they were baffled as much as myself over it, you know.
Because the badgers that have been caught in this area were negative.
Were negative.
Yeah.
So it didn't make sense. It didn't make sense. It didn't add up at all, you know. The end of 24, we bought in calves, Angus calves. Because you just couldn't afford to go back into cows at that stage because the
into dairying.
Into dairy, and you know, because cows was very expensive.
Come on. Shh. Come on, girls. Come on. Shh. Come on, girls. Come on. Yes, girls. Come on. Shh. Go on. Go on. That's it. Go on. Go on. Keep going. Go on.
And the decision to go back in and bring animals on your land, I mean, does it come with a certain amount of nervousness?
Yeah, it was anxious. Now, we have one clear test got. We're tested every 6 months now.
Okay.
Every 6 months. It's a nervous time. It's a nervous time. It's a nervous time for testing. But I think it's a nervous time for all farmers testing at the moment, because it's just so big of a thing now, the TB. And every farmer is feared, no matter where you are in the country, you know, of this TB. So you just wonder about it. It just baffles me, you know.
Yeah.
But
and now there's been 80 million or so extra from the budget.
Yeah.
Public money.
Public money. It hasn't worked up until now, but I think the minister has brought a 30-day test, I think, is coming in for movement. And I think it needs to come in, that 30-day test, because at the moment, we say an animal can go around the country for 12 months on the one test, and if they had TB, how many animals are they after affecting,
yeah.
You know, and things like that. So it'll just, it's just costing them the a fortune, the country a fortune of money. Like.
And we're in Cavan, where the reactor percentages are higher than the average around the country. You must know a lot of farmers who've gone down with TB. How are they managing it from a mental health perspective?
My case, we had a good family and everyone was close, and we coped with ourselves, you know. But there is farmers out there that's on their own, a lot of bachelor farmers, I suppose, that has no one living with them. It would be tough on them if all their cows went down, you know. And I think if there could be a support line that you could just ring up and have a chat about it, and ring up someone that was after going through it themselves, and, you know, it would help a lot that way in the mental health end of it, you know.
We're standing in your field, surrounded by your new animals. What is the future for you here, Patrick? Are you going to go back dairying?
I don't think we can afford to go back at the moment. And I'm not going to start all over again. I started when I was 16, so I've enough done. That's all you can do. And that's it.
Patrick Gaynor there in Cavan, and you can really hear just how baffled he is, and I'm sure farmers listening will relate to that. And not even the Department of Agriculture could tell him with certainty the source of infection in his animals. It's a very, very difficult picture indeed. Well, we've been trying for 70 years to rid Ireland of bovine TB, and that goal might feel like a very distant goal, but it is far from impossible. Other countries have done it. Australia, for example, was officially declared TB-free back in 1997. So how did they do it? Well, Dr. Ron Glanville is a vet who held senior state roles and was one of the experts behind their eradication programme. So I spoke to him and asked him whether, despite differences between Australian and Irish farming systems, there are lessons we can learn from their success.
Oh, definitely, Ella. I mean, there are parts of Australia that are quite similar to Ireland when we go to the south, and we're able to eradicate TB from the southern parts reasonably quickly. But we don't have the badger and deer issues that you have in Ireland, but there are certainly some key aspects of our program that we ran here from 1970 that I think lessons can be learnt from. We took a fairly strict and tough approach in Australia. The industry, the cattle industry in Australia, paid for about approximately 50% of the program. Our very last case of TB was detected in the year 2000, and it was eradicated over the next couple of years. So the early 2000s was the last time we detected TB in Australia. But I think we showed in Australia that you can still eradicate the disease in dairy herds in reasonably intensive conditions, provided you apply strict controls.
Ron, let's start with the cattle controls and the risk-based approach. It seems that one of the turning points in Australia's success was deciding to really get tough on the disease, to take a zero-tolerance approach, even if in the short term it meant farmers and the industry lost out, a kind of short-term pain, long-term gain view. Can you talk a little bit about this approach and what was done?
A key thing was movement of animals. So, the most likely way a farmer is going to get TB is to acquire animals from a TB-infected, another TB-infected farm. So all our movement controls were based on herd statuses. So you couldn't move cattle to another breeding farm, for example, unless they came from a free herd. We didn't really rely on individual tests of animals for movement testing. We based that more on the status of the herd. the standard tuberculin test hasn't got a very good sensitivity in under Australian conditions, probably only around 70%. Firstly, we read them hard, so we encourage veterinarians to identify any animal that showed any slightest reaction to the TB test, and they were all taken out. They were destroyed and post-mortemed. But also we applied this to the individual groups of animals. So when it came to eradicating the disease, we applied the test as a group test, not an individual test. So we tried to identify groups of animals. The approach, particularly towards the end of the program, was to depopulate that group.
And when you say depopulate, you mean cull. I mean, they were sent to the factory.
That's right. They were sent to the abattoir. That's correct.
In Ireland, the Department of Agriculture over the decades has decided how to spend billions of euro of public money trying to eradicate TB in cattle here, and it clearly hasn't worked. I mean, things are only getting worse. In Australia, you moved from a fully government-run programme to one where industry and farmers shared responsibility and the costs. Can you explain what you did and what difference that shift made?
Yes, well, that made a big difference because the farming community had skin in the game, and they were part of the management of the program. And to tell you the truth, actually, often the industry representatives were tougher than the government representatives because they were paying for the scheme. They wanted it to be over and done with as quickly as possible. So they were quite tough in terms of the sorts of controls they expected. It had a really positive effect in terms of making sure the program progressed. There was a big meeting between government and industry in 1984. Industry weren't particularly happy with the way the program was progressing at that time, so there was a decision made that they would pay for 50% of the program from then on. That was paid for through a slaughter levy. Half of the program was paid by industry, and because they were paying, they wanted it sped up. And so from 1984 right through to 1989, we essentially eradicated most of the TB.
You had a quick look at the new plan from Ireland's Department of Agriculture that was published in September. These 30 actions in total, backed by an extra and additional 85 million euro in funding. Taken together, from the quick look that you've had, Ron, do you believe these measures will finally work? Do you think they'll be enough to turn things around?
Well, there are some good things in that program. I think the wildlife controls, what they're doing there is good. Some of the new technology, exploring new technologies such as using the gamma interferon tests and looking at new vaccines is good. But the program in Ireland is still fairly gentle in terms of trying to minimise the immediate impact on farmers. So it's hard to have a crystal ball, but the way I'm seeing it is that the current program in Ireland, I doubt that you would get to final eradication through that method. And there are a couple of reasons for that. One of the key things, I think, looking at the Irish program is that it's still too easy to move animals around and spread the disease. And from what I've read, there are still significant numbers of new cases, new herds being detected every year. So, and the other one is just cleaning up herds that are infected. So a tougher line approach might be needed there.
That's interesting, Ron. You use the word it's too gentle still. Can you just explain exactly what you mean? And when you look at that plan, what the key things you would do differently in it?
You really have to be tough in terms of the way you apply the test so that you seek out and detect all the infected herds, and then once you've got the infected herds pinpointed, that you implement strict controls and strict control measures, eradication methods to get rid of the infection in those herds. One thing I've learned during my long career in animal health is that often it's the last bit of infection that is the hardest to get. You really need to take a very hardline approach to finally eradicate a disease. It can be fairly easy to get the disease down to reasonably low levels, but to really get that last bit of infection, find all the infected herds, you really need to take a hardline approach.
Some really interesting points there from Dr. Ron Glanville in on what Ireland can learn from Australia's success in eradicating TB. And my thanks also to Patrick Gaynor and Fintan Cooney for sharing their stories. 51551 for your text, countrywide at rte.ie for your emails. We are talking land prices after these.
Email countrywide at rte.ie.